You're listening to Let's Talk, Episode 19, brought to you by the StarQuest Production Network. Welcome, Father Corey Stika here again with our weekly episode of Let's Talk, our SQPN community podcast. With me this week, it's just myself and one other person. We got Daniel Smirkowski, who has been a long friend of SQPN. How you doing, Daniel?
Awesome. Good.
Glad to have you here. And for those who might not know who you are, why don't you tell a little bit about yourself?
I've been listening to SQPN for and Father Waterwick shows for since about the end of 2008, so for about 10 years mm-hmm. now. And I was born 3 1/3 months premature, 29 years ago, and I was diagnosed with developmental delays or intellectual disabilities and severe language disorder and when I go on and speak, I usually tell people that communication is my biggest struggle, but it's also my biggest passion. So I'm also, what most people probably know me from is Special Chronicles, which we produce similar to SQPN. We produce podcasts, but there's actually three different prongs to Special Chronicles. One is the podcast / SC TV, and then the second is public speaking. And so currently, those are the three different prongs of Special Chronicles. And this year, I'm celebrating 10 years of podcasting.
Well, excellent. And, you know, let's go right into that, because that's part of the reason why we're having you on, is to talk about your work with Special Chronicles. And, you know, just what got you started, first of all, in wanting to get out there and do the Special Chronicles podcast, to do the writing that you've been doing and so on? What really led you to do that?
Well, it actually goes back to July 2008. I was at I had just graduated high school, and I was it was a month before I was about to start college, and I went to my first Theology on Tap. I'm sure you're familiar with
it. Oh, absolutely.
Theology on Tap. Yeah, and so I went there, and I saw a little ad for Busted Halo and the podcast that they used to do, I never heard of podcasts before, and so I saw this and so I logged on, and that was the first podcast that I subscribed to. And then I don't know how I found out about Father Waterwick's podcast and Greg and Jennifer's and SQPN, but somehow I found out about that, and so I started listening. And when I started listening to podcasts, I hold the all world retarded, and between hearing the all world and also hearing really not a lot of understanding in both through podcasting and also through just in the mainstream public on those of us with disabilities, if it's visible or physical or invisible or those of us with intellectual disabilities, there really wasn't a lot of understanding. And so when I started becoming a speaker for Special Olympics, I started recording the audio, and like the audio recorder that, that I had at the time, it was like this thing that you plugged into those old iPods, you know? It was, mm-hmm. it was like a little microphone.
Okay, sure.
That you had this lovely old mic, and I attached audio of the speeches that I was given, and once I put that online, then I started getting messages from listeners across the globe, and we ended up having 50 listeners in the first year, so from about 2008 to 2009, that first year, and now 10 years later, a decade later, we have over 80,000 Nine.
That's great.
And yeah, and that number is not only the podcast downloads, but that includes our website views, and it includes all the impressions on our social media, as well as our YouTube views as well.
Oh, excellent. Excellent.
So,
yeah.
Yeah. It's amazing. The gifts that God gives you, that you, despite challenges that you never knew that would have such a great impact on so many people.
Yeah, though it's interesting. You know, you talk about that, because I was thinking, you mentioned in your introduction that you do have some disabilities. Have you found that those disabilities have actually pushed you to go further than you maybe would have if not?
I think if I understand the question correctly, think if it wasn't for, I mean, the disability is really, I think, made me who I am, and really mm-hmm. kind of pushed me to always want to go for what's how in life, and to really kind of go for those difficult or challenging things.
Right.
So yeah, mm-hmm. I think that really played a big part.
Well, that's great. I mean, that's looking at it more of a challenge instead of a problem.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And something to overcome.
Yeah,
you know?
And that's something that one of my journalism professors, the semester after I graduated, he invited me to come back and speak to his class. And that's something that he told me that apparently I had taught him, is that it's not really a disability. It's really a challenge that's meant to be overcome. And if more people look at that, then I think the abortion rate wouldn't be that big, then there wouldn't be as big of an abortion rate as there is.
Right.
It's like that's something, like when I was born, that's something that my doctors had advised my mom. And thankfully, they didn't choose that option.
Sure.
So many in... things have changed, you know, 29 years later, but that's still something that's so big. And I think if people just kind of recognize that the disability that you're diagnosed with really isn't, it really isn't a big challenge. Yes, there's a lot more challenges than you may have with a child that may not have disability, but mm-hmm. but there's still a lot of joy and love that can come.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, there's a couple of people in my parishes here who have Down's syndrome, and wonderful people. I mean, they truly are.
Yeah.
Frankly, I think they're a lot more joyful than those of us who are so-called normal.
Yeah.
You know, so that's wonderful.
Yeah. There was a show, I don't know if you've seen it, called Born This Way. They just aired their their both seasons, and so they have four seasons, and they've won two or three Emmy awards. But it stars seven young adults, and then one toddler who, and they all have Down syndrome. And I've actually talked with the entire cast and the creator of that show. But it's amazing that once people kind of see what other difference, then people see that we're all different. But, and a lot of times people say, whether it's with Down syndrome or other disabilities, they say we're more alike than different. But if you think about it, yes, that's true. We're more alike than different. But then we also have differences as well. So I kind of think it might not make sense, but I kind of think that it's kind of both. I like to say that, yes, we're more like the different, but then we also have differences as well.
Yeah. Well, in differences isn't exactly bad. I mean, that's what makes us unique.
Yeah.
You know, we're every person is different from every other person, but that doesn't mean that that's a bad thing. We shouldn't all be the same.
No, it shouldn't be.
Kind of going back to your work, you talk about, you started the podcast about 10 years ago, which congratulations for that,
by the way.
Thank you. You've been doing a lot of good work with that, I know. You've gone on to other things, though, not just podcasting, haven't you?
Yeah.
You mentioned writing. What kind of writing have you been able to do?
I'm still in the process of writing a book of my story. I'm still in the very early stages of that. I'm hoping by the end of this year I can get back to that. But most of the writing that I've been doing is, I've written a newspaper column in just a small local town. I used to go to school with the editor of that paper, but then he has since left that paper and go to work for another paper. And I've actually stopped writing. But I won first place in the Illinois Press Association for that special voices column that I wrote. And then just a couple months ago, I wrote in, I don't know if you're familiar with the Chicago Sun-Times, but they were like, that's one of the top market papers. And I actually wrote a column. They partnered with Special Olympics for the 50th anniversary. And I was honored, in addition to being on the 50th communications committee, they asked me to write a guest column in the Chicago Sun-Times. So,
that's excellent.
Yeah. And all those columns that I've mentioned, I have reprinted, on specialchronicles.com. There's a tab that says Special Voices column. And I, because I own my own writing, I always link back to where it was originally published, but I reprinted it on there because it's kind of fun to have that as a, like, I'm sure, with your homilies, it's good to kind of have a archive of what you do. And so, so all those columns are on there. And I've, in addition to those newspaper columns, I've written, there's a website called The Mighty. I've written some pieces on there. Special Olympics has a blog. I've written some blogs with them. And on their website. And so in addition to the newspaper column, I've written a few other, for some other online publications. And Special Olympics had a special 50th commemorative program, like a little magazine book. And I wrote a guest column in there too. So I try to kind of, as an offshoot of Special Chronicles, I try to really write in other publications, just to kind of reach out in other sources as well.
Well, very good. Very good. No, it sounds you've done more writing than I have. Yeah, let's put it that way. Well, I write my homilies, but I haven't done too many newspaper columns. So,
oh, and I forgot to mention, I used to write on CatholicMom.com.
Sure.
But I've kind of stepped away from that just because, as you know, when life gets busy, you kind of have to kind of figure out, okay, what can you work on now and what you kind of have to let go of.
Now, are you still doing a lot of public speaking? I know you said you started out with public speaking, kind of led to the podcast. Yeah. Are you still doing a lot of that?
Not as much, but I'm still – one of my most popular talks is around the first week of March, which is – it's the Spread the Word to End the World Awareness Day, even though it happens all year round, but mostly like a few schools have invited me to come speak about the R word. But now I'm in some guest lectures at a couple where I used to go to the college where I used to go to school. Mm. So I still not as much speak as I did 10 years ago, but I do occasionally try to do some public speaking.
Sure. Well, before when we were talking before we started the recording, you mentioned that you've got a special celebration coming up to celebrate your 10th anniversary as a podcaster. Why don't you mention a little about that, kind of promote that a little bit?
Sure. And because this is just audio, I have to ask you to look at at what I typed up here.
Perfect.
But it's amazing that Special Chronicles has lasted 10 years. It's amazing that I'm still podcasting 10 years later. But on Sunday, November 4th, 2018, from 1 to 4 p.m. Central Time, I'm actually going back to the town of where I started. The town is called Westmont, Illinois. It's in the west suburbs of Chicago. Our tickets are $100 per person, or if someone can't afford that, or if you can't travel physically, you can still, one of the ticket options is a donation. So you can still make a donation, or you can even sponsor a Special Olympics athlete to come. I'm hoping that we can live stream it either on Facebook Live or on YouTube or on Twitter or on chronicles.com/10. That's specialchronicles.com/10th is where all the information is there. Include, you can purchase your tickets and donate right on that page. So it's pretty easy. We're hoping this will be a chance that our audience can come and celebrate with us on 10 years of giving respect and voice to people with special needs. And then two, hopefully people will be educated and learn from the guest speakers, because we're still trying to plan what speakers we're going to have, but people can loan from Augusta speakers and loan from each other, like loan from our audience can come loan from each other as well. And then the third one is hopefully our audience will come and be inspired on creating the future of Special Chronicles, because we've got some big plans and some big ideas for the future. And so hopefully people will come and be inspired as well. So it's, to come celebrate and learn and be inspired is the kind of three main perks or benefits that I hope people will really come away from this celebration. And of course, it's a fundraiser. So we'll, in addition to charging for the tickets and donations, we're also looking for some sponsors too. you know, it's you know, it's fun to do this book, but it costs money. It's like we're talking right now on Skype and stuff, and mm-hmm. all that costs money to be able to continue doing this work.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, just kind of a teaser for people listening. SQPN is going to be starting its fundraising soon, too. So I understand completely. But yeah, I will make sure the link to your 10-year celebration along with your website, Special Chronicles, will be in the show notes so that people can look at that and hopefully make a good donation and help you out if they can't make it. You know, unfortunately, I'm a little far away from Chicago, so unfortunately I won't be there, but I'll definitely keep you in mind. So, well, this is a good place,
Thank
I think.
You. Yeah.
Oops. Yeah. Good place to take quick break. We'll take a quick break here and we'll talk about what we're doing here at SQPN. Once again, thank you for joining us for Let's Talk. We really do appreciate all of our listeners, all those who are willing to tune in every week. We hope that you will give us your feedback at letstalk@sqpn.com, that you'll like and share our episodes, that you'll give us good reviews on iTunes and so on. We're also still doing the listener survey. We've got a couple more weeks of that. So please do go to sqpn.com/survey, fill that out for a chance for one of two $50 Amazon gift cards. So please do go and let us know what you think about what we're doing, what you want to hear more from us, so that we can continue and make shows that you'll enjoy, that you'll be willing to share, that you'll be willing to participate in. Because ultimately, this is about giving you what you want to hear. So again, please go to sqpn.com/survey. Okay, so now we got that out of the way. You've mentioned several times your involvement with Special Olympics. And I think most people have heard of Special Olympics, but they might not really know a lot about it. Why don't you give kind of a what you might call an elevator pitch for Special Olympics? A little short. Sure. What is Special Olympics and what does it mean for you?
Well, for one, a lot of people think of Special Olympics as just one event, but really it's an entire movement, and we have throughout the entire movement of Special Olympics events all year round. And now that with the just over in 50 years, and actually just down the street from where I'm sitting, right now, is at Soldier Field, which is where the first international game took place in 1968. And just a couple months ago, they lighted for the first time the new Eternal Flame of Hope monument, which is this 32-story monument. And my name is one of the names engraved in this new plaza. But I think I posted a picture on my Instagram. But it's really what with it now just celebrating the 50th anniversary on July 20th, it's really what was once this movement and these games was just for those of us with intellectual disabilities is now actually a movement and an organization that is led by those of us Special Olympics athletes. And it's led by us, and now actually the movement is you will hear a lot about the inclusion revolution and really about inclusion and people without disabilities like yourself playing on the same team with myself and other Special Olympics athletes and playing unified. And that's really the future of this movement, and that's what I'm excited about, and really what the athlete oath is: let me win, but if I cannot win, let me be brave in the attempt. And really what Special Olympics means to me is 10 years ago I wasn't that athletic, but really through being involved in Special Olympics, it's really helped with with my fitness. It's really helped. It's really helped me get better at sports, through swimming, playing basketball, which are my two sports. But it's also in addition to helping me get in better fit and being healthy and getting better at sports, it's also really empowered me through the athlete leadership programs. It's empowered me to be a public speaker. Really, Special Olympics has empowered me to even create Special Chronicles. And so there's a lot of close intertwined connections through the Special Olympics movement and through really the movement and community that I've created at Special Chronicles. Special Olympics has really empowered me to really create this community and this movement of Special Chronicles, because I've heard from just one listener, for example. I had emailed me, like, as I'm sure you know, Father Coley, that you get emails out of the blue, and I got an email from this one listener with a physical disability who said so often he feels alone, but by listening to my show, he feels encouraged and he feels community. And 10 years ago, I never would have known that. And even just a couple of days ago, I had lunch with one of the people at Special Olympics who is also a listener to my show. And right when she walked into this restaurant, and so we had a two-hour lunch, right when she walked in, she said that it felt like she's been with me for a long time, because when she was driving to the restaurant, she was listening to my show. And so which I'm sure, as you know, that's kind of what you get with the podcast. But yeah, yes. So really, Special Olympics has really empowered me and really transformed my life in so many ways that 10 years ago I never would have known was possible. And I love that the future is about inclusion and the inclusion revolution, because people like yourself and your listeners can really now come and play Unified with us. They have Special Olympics programs in 170 countries and in all 50 states. So it's very, like, if people go onto specialolympics.org, they can go and find their local program and find out how to play Unified and find out how to get involved.
So now, what's the history of Special Olympics? How did, you know, you said it's celebrating its 50th anniversary this year. How did it develop? Where did it come from?
So in 1968, actually a few years before, it started in Camp Shriver in the backyard of Eunice Kennedy Shriver, who her brother was President John F. Kennedy, and her husband was Sergeant Shriver, who founded the Peace Corps. But Eunice had started this camp for people with intellectual disabilities in her backyard. And then Justice Ann Bourke, who is from Chicago, was a PE teacher in the Chicago Park district. And so she started, and then she got together, I think, through some grant or something with that the Kennedy Foundation had given her. And there was some, I'm blanking on his name, but there was somebody down in Southern Illinois who had some type of similar type of camp. And this was at a time 50 years ago when those of us with intellectual disabilities were in institutions and really wasn't really in the public eye. And so this was really revolutionary 50 years ago to even, you know, be in Soldier Field, to really, you know, be playing sports and now and there was only 1,000 athletes from the U.S. and Canada in those sports games. And I heard when I spoke with Tim Shriver, which if your listeners have not watched that conversation that I had with Tim, it's definitely worth watching. It's only 20 minutes, but if you wanted to put a link to that conversation with that I had with Tim, it's definitely worth watching. And it, something that Tim had said is, so there was 5.6 million athletes in 170 countries. And
wow.
50 years ago, units had thought that there would be, either 3 or 4 million. I forgot the exact amount mm-hmm. of how many units I thought there would be. But 50 years later, they surpassed the amount of Special Olympics athletes that units had thought that there would be. And so
that's great.
It's amazing. So it's really amazing to see the history. And those that, I don't know if you ever get to D.C., I know I'll find Billy Newton, who lives in D.C.,
yep.
But if those at the American History Museum, there was this new exhibit that just opened that focuses on the 50th anniversary of the Special Olympics and a lot of that history. And so if anybody ever gets to D.C. This year, it's definitely worth going to check out at the American History Museum. But we need to kind of think about what do you think about the history of where Special Olympics started and where it is today? It's very bright now, and just even like with the church and the Knights of Columbus, and I believe Catholic Charities is also involved as well. And mm-hmm. I know the Knights of Columbus are really involved, and it's really through Special Olympics, it goes, and something that Tim had even told me, it goes across, like there's no boundaries. So when people come to a Special Olympics movement, and it's a movement for everybody, there's no boundaries, there's no politics, no religion, no, it's really a chance that, you know, people can really see the best of humanity, can really, when people, and I've been trying to say this at the end of my show now, but to choose to include, really, when it comes down to it, to join the inclusion revolution, there's no debate. It's not an option. There's this inclusion revolution manifesto, and I don't have it off the top of my head. I've got it listed sure. in the news feed on Special Chronicles, but on the blog there. But really, there really isn't. It's as simple as just if people remember these three simple words, just to choose to include. It's that simple, and it's something that we can take on the playing field. We can even take it back to our communities. We can take it to our workplaces, to our communities, to our jobs. We can take it into our parishes, into our churches, whatever religion somebody is. We can take it everywhere. And if people remember those three simple rules, choose to include, we will have a much better society. We can really, I think, by choosing to include, we can get past a lot of that negative news that it seems like on a weekly basis, like it seems like every day, there's always some some horrible news. And so I think by remembering those three simple words, to choose to include, we can really meet people and really, really play about that, but then really, really make that possible.
Right. Well, it's just awesome what has been done, you know, as part of this movement. You talked about your own story with Special Olympics. Are there people you've met that, you know, that you found personally inspirational through Special Olympics?
Yeah, those, a lot of the people that I've met, I like to use the word more to that they've really empowered me, as opposed to inspirational. A lot of the friends that I, I should say all the friends that I've made, have really empowered me. And there's too many names to name right now,
sure.
But, everybody that I meet, from my teammates, from my coaches, from other friends, have really empowered me to really keep competing, keep advocating, keep this mission going at Special Chronicles, and everything. And earlier this year, I did the polo. I don't know if you're familiar with the polo plunge, where you raise money for Special Olympics, and I did that actually on my dad's birthday. And I did that earlier this year, and I haven't announced this yet, but this coming the end of February 2019. So your show will be the first place that I'm announcing, and I haven't announced it on social media or on my own show yet, but I'm going to be doing the Super Plunge, which I don't know if you're familiar with that, but that's where you plunge once an hour for 24 hours into Lake Michigan. They ask you have to cut to the ice at the end of February. I'm going to be doing I'm going to be doing that at the end of February.
That's awesome.
It's really.
To describe what a polar plunge is for those who are from warmer climates than we're from, you know, of course, I'm in Montana. Yeah. It gets cold. Yeah. It's kind of a strange thing we like to do. And usually it's done as a fundraiser. It's usually done for charity, where you donate some money and then they go out in the middle of winter, you know, January, February, when the lakes are and the rivers are frozen over, and they cut a chunk out of the ice and people jump in willingly. Into this literally ice water. Yeah. I mean, this is the literal definition of ice water. I haven't done one yet, but it's a pretty interesting event.
Yeah.
Oh, go ahead.
I was just going to say you had mentioned a couple young adults at your parish who have Down syndrome. Are any of them involved in either Special Olympics or Best Buddies or do you communicate with them besides on Sunday masses?
Yeah, I mean, I see them at mass and I see them around town and things like that. By the way, the two of them that we have Downs, I think they'd be flattered to be called young adults. They're both in their 50s.
Oh.
So I don't think they participate. We do have another gentleman who's got some physical disabilities who does participate in Special Olympics, and he always comes and he's got his medals around his neck when he comes to mass afterwards. And he's got to show off his achievements there. So that's always a wonderful thing to see and hear from him.
Awesome.
And he always looks forward to it when he can go to it, you know, because we do have it. I think they do it in Billings. I can't remember where they do Special Olympics here in Montana, but every year they have the big event here in Montana.
Yeah.
So awesome. that's
I still haven't made it up to Montana yet, but one of these days.
Got to get you up here.
Yep.
Got to get you up here. Make sure to do it during the summer so you don't have to worry about the cold. It gets a little even colder than Chicago, believe it or not.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
I have a friend that just got married last August, and he and his wife now live in Utah. So and they do a lot of biking, but we used to see each other a lot, you know, when we were growing up, but now with us now being our own lives now, it's, we don't see each other as much now, but one of these days I'll make it out west again.
Get you a road trip. Yeah. Get you on a good journey.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, very good. Well, go ahead.
No.
I was going to say, that's a good place to kind of wrap up that discussion, unless you got anything else you want to mention about Special Olympics.
No.
I know you're on kind of a time limit.
I am on time limit. No, the only other thing where I mentioned the inclusion revolution, but I was going to save it for my pick of the week. So.
Well, we'll go. Actually, that's what we're going to go to right now. So that's what I was kind of trying to transition to. So perfect transition. So why don't you talk about your pick here? What you want to promote for your pick of the week?
Well, my pick of the week. In with what I think about on the inclusion revolution, which is really this new campaign that Special Olympics has, and as part of their movement, there's this new website that they just launched a couple months ago called jointherevolution.org. And you're going to put that link as well in your show notes as well. But jointherevolution.org. And if people go there, they can, get more information about the inclusion revolution, but then you could also take the inclusion pledge. And really, if what I was telling your listeners about the importance of choosing to include, when he spoke to them, then they should definitely go online to jointherevolution.org, and there's a link at the top of that site called that says pledge, and they can click on that and take the pledge. But then two, they've got another link on there called 50 Game Changers, and Special Olympics has partnered with ESPN, and they have a 50 one. It started beginning of August and it's going all the way to the end of next July 2019, and it's this 50 Game Changers film series. These short films are about 5 minutes. Some are a little less, but they're around 5 minutes. I don't think any of them are longer than 5 minutes, so it's really easy to watch. They're releasing these 50 film series, and it's if you look, they had one with Jamal Charles, the NFL running back. They had another with Danielle Lebo, who's an athlete from Minnesota, who I actually interviewed and did a story on her about 5 years ago, and now ESPN just did a story with her. Who I actually got to meet in person in Los Angeles. But this, so my pick of the week is jointherevolution.org. It's airing on SportsCenter on ESPN. But if people, for whatever reason, like I don't have ESPN, but if people don't have it, they are also simulcasting it on jointherevolution.org. If people go there, click on 50 Game Changers, you can watch them each week, and it's still going to be up there. So I highly recommend that your listeners go and check that out.
Well, excellent. And I happen to notice there's even an article from a Daniel that talks about Special Olympics athletes' journey, study in empowerment.
Oh, on that
site? One of your articles on there.
I didn't even know that it was up there. That's actually the column that I wrote in the Chicago Sun-Times. I actually reprinted. They reprinted that. I didn't even know that it was out there. So thanks for telling me.
Yeah, they linked to the Sun-Times article. So you can go read Daniel's article about that. So excellent. Excellent pick.
You cut out there a little bit.
Yeah. They linked to your article in the Chicago Sun-Times. So.
Oh, yeah.
So that's good. Excellent. Well, that's a great pick. Definitely have everybody check that out. That's some very good information there. My pick is a book that I'm currently reading. It's called The Life and Glories of Saint Joseph. It's an older book. You know, it's from Tan Publishing, which if you're familiar with Tan Books, they publish a lot of older out of print Catholic books. And so, it's a book just talking about the life of Saint Joseph. We don't see much about Saint Joseph in the scriptures, but there's much through tradition that can really tells us about him. So this book kind of takes his story, tells his story. So very much worth checking out. Well, of course, we'll have a link in the show notes where you can order that. Well, Daniel, thank you very much for coming on. This has been a great conversation.
Yeah, thank you.
It really has.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. I'll have to check out your pick of the week. I know when you had that Map My Fitness as your pick of the week, that was really helpful when you had told us about that. When you told us about the survey that you have, reminded me that I still have to throw that survey out.
Yeah. You better make sure to get in on the survey. You might win some, Amazon bucks. So, well, great. Yeah. Well,
thank you. Yeah. It's been a joy. It's been a joy talking to you. Hopefully, hopefully the listeners don't hear a lot of the background noise.
Yeah, he's in a coffee shop right now. That's why the Skype call is a little sketchy, but it worked obviously pretty well. Where could people find you? Of course, you've got your Special Chronicles site, but where else can people find you? What other social media? Where can people find you on social media?
Oh, on social media. So the main place people can find me is on specialchronicles.com, on Instagram and Facebook and Twitter. I'm at PodmanDan, PodmanDan. I'm mostly active on Instagram and Facebook. Not that much on Twitter occasionally. But mostly on Instagram stories and Facebook. And then if people want, I used to be on Snapchat, but I'm not, it accidentally deleted from my phone and I'm not on there just because, I don't have time for that one. Mm-hmm. But if people want to follow Special Chronicles, that's where I'm really posting a lot about the podcast and stories from all. We have a few contributors that are writing stories and doing live videos that are some of our contributors are writing stories for us, and then some of our contributors are actually this one contributor now is producing video for us. And so at Special Chronicles, all one word, at Special Chronicles is the handle on Facebook and Instagram and YouTube, and then on Twitter, because of the characters on Twitter, it's at Special C Podcast on Twitter. I was hoping to have it all be the same, but that's the way Twitter is. So
it happens.
So that's where people can find me. And
well, excellent. And once again, Father Corey Stika, you can find me at my website, frcorey.org, where I post my homilies. You can find me on Facebook at Father Corey Stika. Once again, if you wish to leave us feedback, please send it to letstalk@sqpn.com. Thank you very much for listening, and God bless.